Blog Talk Radio.
We will keep this promise to the American people. If you like your doctor, you will be able to keep your doctor, period.
If you like your doctor, you keep your doctor. If you like your current insurance, you keep that insurance.
If you've got health insurance, you like your doctor, you like your plan, you can keep your doctor, you can keep your plan. Nobody is talking about taking that away from you. If you like your doctor, you can keep your doctor. If you like your health care plan, you can keep your health care plan.
Now more than ever before, the people are responsible for the character of their Congress. If that body be ignorant, reckless, and corrupt, it is because the people tolerate ignorance, recklessness, and corruption. 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 Until now.
You feel that? You better hold on.
Welcome to the program. I am your captain for this two-hour pleasure cruise, where we are dedicated to the fight and the preservation of freedom, no matter how much is left of it. You want to be part of the program today? Be cool. But be you. Don't be rude. Don't be obnoxious. You want to argue with me? Fine. Just don't be cussing and screaming and acting like an idiot. I don't want to hear it. You got something important to say? Well, then, damn it, get on the horn and give me a call. 646-716-7978. That's 646-7978. And if there's anybody out there, anybody at all, who cannot see themselves losing faith and trust in this government, you don't need to call me. You need to call your dealer, and you need to tell him, I'm sorry, but I no longer need your services. I am going straight to the Betty Ford Clinic. It is impossible to have any faith, any trust in this government whatsoever. A lot of things need to change. We need to go back, regroup, find out who the hell we really are. What the hell do we really want? Yes, it's nice to make a wish list and send it off to the North Pole and hope Santa Claus delivers. But unless you can afford it, unless you've got a pathway, unless you know some way, somehow, how to get it, where it's feasible, that it will work. And when it doesn't work, you need to find out, well, why didn't it work? Was it something that I did, all the restrictions that I put on it? And now to fix it, we have to spend billions, if not trillions more. Nobody knows anything in this administration. Nobody. President, he doesn't know anything. How in the hell is he supposed to know anything when he's on the golf course? He didn't know anything about Benghazi, Fast and Furious. He didn't hear about the IRS scandal until he was watching television. What the hell's a president doing watching television in the first place? Since when does the president really have a whole lot of time where he can sit and watch television? He shouldn't be watching the news. Have advisors telling him what the hell's happening. Not only that, he should know. Maybe he should do some research on his own. Maybe pay attention to a couple of meetings or something. I don't know. They're out there misleading, which is nothing more than a lie. It's not misleading. You know, that's a nice way in political ease. So that was misleading. No, that was not misleading. That was an out-and-out lie. I don't know about you, but I am sick and tired of it. I'm tired of being lied to. And yesterday, did anybody pay attention to that? I mean, you want to talk about a monkey court? I'm sick of these. I understand what that guy was talking about, but in a different context. I love these committee hearings, but they don't do anything. They produce zero results. How many hearings have we had on Benghazi, and what do we have for it? Any results with that? I don't see any. How about Fast and Furious? That happened right off the bat, man. That was within the first year of this administration, I think. It was very early on, anyhow. We got into the bottom of that?
I don't remember getting to the bottom of that.
The IRS? No. Those in charge, one got a promotion, one resigned with full benefits. How about the NSA? I don't think they should be in trouble, I guess is the right word, for spying. We should be in trouble for, well, allowing it to get out. Now, I'm not saying that spying on leaders' personal phone calls, I'm not saying that that is, I'm okay with that. But if you are going to do something like that, you need to make damn sure you don't get caught. And if you're going to allow somebody with just a GED, and he's been working there, what, 2 months, 3 months? He did it within a month, 2 months, whatever the hell it was. Was able to just walk in, get all the information he wants, and fly into China, and then into Russia? That's incompetence. That doesn't happen. Crap like that just doesn't, you don't allow that to happen. In Benghazi, you do not allow 400 surface-to-air missiles to be stolen. You got that kind of weaponry, you made damn sure you got security. That's why I cannot get that out of my head. I know it's a theory. I know I don't have any evidence. But the evidence I do have seems to point in the direction that this administration knew that something like this was going to happen. Whether they knew it was going to be a full-out assault, I'd like to think that we didn't know that. But how many times were we told that it was going to happen? So how could you not know that that was going to happen? So nothing adds up. None of their numbers add up. They start with 10,000 or 10 million people uninsured. Then it went to 20, then 30, then 40, then finally into 50. But now we've got 90 million people out of work. You know most of those don't have health insurance. How are you going to get health insurance if you're not making any money? So we've got them uninsured. They lost their job because of Obamacare. And the ones that did keep their job now have 29 hours a week. They're forced to go out and get two and three jobs. And now they got to go out and buy Obamacare that they can't afford. And if they do get hurt, Obama talked about, nobody should go bankrupt for having a pre-existing condition. Well, that's exactly what you're doing, Mr. President, is you're bankrupting these people, whether they have a pre-existing condition or not. How could anybody in this administration not see that that is happening? How can anybody still, to this day, have any faith, any trust in this government is beyond me? You definitely need to call your dealer. Get a hold of the Betty Ford Clinic as fast as you can. You need to get off the drugs, man. Quit smoking the crack. Nobody knows anything. They're lying through their teeth. They're stealing, literally stealing. Taking the money and it's burnt. It goes nowhere. There's a few people that pocket a few coins. Some of them pocket even more. But what do we have to show for it? Well, we've got a $600 million website that's soon to arrive close to $1 billion. If not, I'm sure that this administration can find a way to turn it straight into a trillion. But $600 million, I mean, look, $600 million is $600 million. Whether we're the United States government or not, $600 million is still $600 million. I mean, $600 million here, $600 million there. Next thing you know, I mean, that adds up to big money, man, real money. And then when they run out, what do? Well, got to raise taxes. According to Harry Reid, everybody wants to pay more taxes. Everybody. Oh, man, my office is swamped with calls, people asking me to pay more. Well, look, hey, nobody's stopping you. You want to pay more to the U.S. government, they'll take it. When you fill out your taxes, if you're getting a refund, say, no, I don't want the refund. You keep it. Give it to the king. He needs it more than I do. It's absolutely pathetic. And we're allowing this to continue. I know the press is starting to get a little warm, but they're lukewarm and they're milquetoast. I'm sorry, Chuck Todd tries to act big and tough, but deep down inside, he's a liberal. Push comes to shove, he's going to side with the president all day long. Knowing full well, there's a lot of people, and I do have a theory, and I'm going to get into it. Matter of fact, let's start getting into this here right now. Let's open up my treasure chest here, find out if we can find any gold. You want to be a part of the program? 646-716-7978. Speak with the captain. Let me know what you think. Let me know what you say. You want to argue, that's fine, but just keep it clean. We don't need a bunch of shenanigans. So anyway, first, right on out of the treasure chest here, Capitol Hill. Yesterday, CMS director avoids her responsibility. Really? No. She wouldn't do that. Top Democrat says they're not cancellation notices. Oh, no. Those are transitions into Obamacare letters. What? No. That's a cancellation. Then you have to go into Obamacare. There's no transition. It's not a transition letter. Well, it doesn't meet the standards. What standards? Abortion. That's what it doesn't meet. That's all this is about. Has nothing to do with diabetes. Diabetes, every one of these people now, they're saying they have diabetes and can't get insurance. They can't afford the damn insurance. They can't afford this Obamacare. But they can certainly go out and get a free abortion. But they can't get insulin. You want to do something about pre-existing conditions? Okay, fine. Put it in there that, I mean, I think most people would rather pay a couple of dimes for somebody with of diabetes rather than somebody who wants a free abortion. Not that they really want to pay for somebody else's diabetes, but what I'm saying is, the point is, that if you are going to have to pay for somebody, you'd rather have to go to somebody that, kind of deserves it and should get it. Not to somebody who wants a free abortion. Whether you believe in abortion or not, the point is if you want an abortion, that needs to come out of your pocket, not the taxpayer's pocket. That's not their responsibility that you can't be responsible enough. So you have to have the taxpayers pay for your birth control, which is abortion after abortion after abortion. Spending a couple of bucks on a condom. Or those gold-plated $4,000, $3,000 a year birth control pills. And what was her name? Sandra Fluke? Yeah, she was about a fluke. Or was it Fluck? Well, if you say Fluck wrong, you might, piss off the FCC. But I call her Fluke because that's all she was. It was a fluke. Wouldn't be a bit surprised if they found her in a university somewhere and said, hey, would you like to do this? And, we'll make a star out of you. Sure, I'll do it. Ooh, I love Obama. Ooh. up there at the DNC, oh God, during the campaign. Oh, that was so pathetic. All these people jumping up and hollering about this chick wants to get free birth control. That's something to be, what? I mean, I never heard of that. That's something to be of jumping up and down over because somebody wants free birth control and lied and said she was spending $3,000 a year on pills. What the hell? What are they made out of? Platinum? What the hell are you doing swallowing platinum for anyway, you idiot? I'm hanging up the white coat. Uh-oh. Disgusted Obamacare letter from a former health care worker to President Obama. Uh-oh. Doctors are leaving, man. They're saying, screw this. I mean, can you blame them? And the ones that are sticking around, they're having to do cash only. Yeah, they're going to stay in business for a while. Rand Paul says he wants to block. Or he will. Not he wants to. He will. Damn it. Good for him. Will block Yellen's nomination as Fed chair unless the Senate votes on an audit of the Fed. Imagine that. Imagine that. We want to have an audit of the Fed. Imagine that. Wonder what we could find in there. You think this government is going to allow an audit to the Fed? No. Well, good. I hope Rand Paul blocks it. Somehow, some way, if he's got a filibuster, he's good at that. I couldn't do that. My body just would not be able to stand in one spot for 20 hours, 24 hours, no way. Couldn't do it. 10 hours, no. I might be able to do two, but after that, I'm shot. But these guys that can stand up there, that Ted Cruz, 21 hours, hey, tip my hat, man. Absolutely. Good for you. I couldn't do it. My body physically would not be able to withstand the pressure on there. My back would give out. My knees would give out. No. Couldn't do it. But I hope Rand Paul does it. Just for an audit of the Fed. There's no way in hell this government's going to allow an audit of the Fed. And if they do... Do you really think they're gonna disclose what they find? Are you kidding me? This is a joke. Everybody's all acting big and tough, and I do believe Rand Paul. If Rand Paul got an opportunity to do a complete audit, he'd do it himself, and I'm sure he would release some information. But the problem with releasing a lot of this information is it makes the rest of the world think that they already don't like us anyway. They already think we're idiots, but, I mean, it just solidifies that sentiment. It gives them a reason to think that way. We need to stop giving the world a reason to think that we're idiots. And the first thing we need to do is stop doing idiotic things. If you say idiotic things, you do idiotic things. Doesn't take a whole lot of common core math to figure out that, yes, you indeed are an idiot. It's just the way it is. We have Mary Landrieu out there professing to the world that she's so embarrassed to travel to Europe. Most people can't even travel to the friggin' supermarket to put food on their table. And this dumb bat's out there worried about her. She's embarrassed to travel to Europe because we don't have universal health care. But now that we've got Obamacare, all those embarrassing woes have gone away. I wonder if they've come back knowing that this Obamacare that she agreed to, a very hefty pork sandwich she got, just so she would go along with this debacle. Wonder if she's embarrassed now. I doubt it. This whole administration from the very beginning has been an embarrassment. We have not gone forward. This country has not progressed. When I hear people talk about progressives, they're not progressive. They're degressives. You want to live in some government-mandated, government-built, high-rise ghetto? Hey, knock yourself out. But we shouldn't be forced to live in that. Didn't they try that in the 30s, forcing people to live in certain ghettos, certain areas in Europe? Anybody remember with that? I'm not equating the two together, but what difference does it make? If you're forcing somebody to live somewhere where they don't want to live, in a tiny little community, of course, you've got everything. You've got a bike route. Oh, yeah, look at this. Yeah. A 20-foot circle. You can ride your bike all day long. Go ahead. Cramming literally millions of people on very few acreage, and you can only travel from one little pod, I guess you might say, to another. You can't go outside those little zones because those are for the animals. You think that stuff's not coming? It's already here. It's already being implemented. They can't get Obamacare implemented, but they can certainly implement sustainable development going. They can get Common Core going. Ooh, they can get that going. They can get anything that doesn't work up and running in no time. Jiminy Christmas almighty. And yesterday, I'm sorry, but I ran off the mouth. Oh, gee, I've never done that before. Wow. So anyway, I got a few stories that we didn't get to yesterday. So the first one is the NSA now is, well, they're a little bit miffed at Mrs. Feinstein. Yeah, she's out there saying that, you know, she's distancing herself and we've got to get action and we need a thorough review. She's a head of the, the National Security Committee or whatever the hell. You'd think she would know that this was going on. And if it, she didn't know, then that means somebody in the NSA was lying to her. So who's lying? I think I'm going to go ahead and say that Miss Dianne Feinstein is the one lying, or she wasn't paying attention. She either wasn't briefed by her staff, why she needs to be briefed by her staff. Maybe she should go to these meetings instead of her staff. Just saying. 100 pro-abortion storytelling events organized across the country. Imagine that. Imagine sitting around the campfire talking about all the glory days of abortions. Yeah, Betty, you remember your first abortion? Well, I sure do, Judy. That was the greatest experience I've ever had in my life. The way they ripped that little baby out of me, piece by piece, and just threw it in the garbage can, I could hear it crying. And the doctor came in with a pair of scissors and jammed it in the back of its neck. Oh, it was wonderful. Oh, we're so proud of you, Betty. Oh, you're such a strong woman. I mean, what the? Are you kidding me? I mean, come on. I mean, that's going a little too far. Come on, ladies. Come on. Grow up a little, will you please? Grow up a little. Jesus Christ almighty. I mean, that's why that eve of destruction. How can you solve anything when human respect is disintegrating? Nobody has respect for anybody else. Nobody has respect for their babies. Nobody has respect for themselves. Certainly nobody has any respect for our laws. We don't follow them. Our government doesn't follow them. The illegal aliens certainly don't follow them. Where the hell is this country? Where are we? I mean, I feel like I was in a time warp. I mean, it happened overnight. Yeah, I know it's been slowly going down there. When Clinton came in, I mean, I was not at all pleased with that. I don't know how the hell that happened. But anyway, he won. And I thought the country was tired of all the crap and they'd get rid of it. No, brought them back. Oh, yeah. The Clintons are creeps. I can't stand them. I don't care. They're not good people. We don't want them back in there. We don't need them. The country can't afford them. We don't need any more people like that in our government. We need a brand new government. And that brand new government is the old government. It's called the Constitution. Look, It works if you follow it. But if you don't follow it, hell no, it's not going to work. That Constitution is our protection against the government. That's why the governments don't like it. None of the kings wanted the Magna Carta when it first came out. King John tried to get the Pope to annul it. Well, he did, but it didn't really matter. It was, you know, it was a more or less probably ceremonial. And to his mind, it was annulled. That's all that mattered. But they still got it. Governments don't like documents like constitutions because it restricts them. Well, that's the point. That's the whole purpose. We've all seen what too much government brings us. And if you're unfamiliar with it, well, then just go ahead and Google Detroit. A whole bunch of pictures will show. That's what liberalism buys you right there. That's what you get. That's what all your tax dollars get you. Is that money well spent? Was it? Are you as happy as Harry Reid says you are to even spend more, be taxed more? Because everybody loves to pay taxes. They love it. Oh, tax me. Oh, tax me. Tax me. Tax me. Oh. Mr. Reid, you need to call your dealer and tell him you no longer need his services. Throw your crack pipe out the window. Get a hold of the Betty Ford Clinic. Say, I need help, and I need it now. What the hell else have we got in here? DHS approves over 80% of dreamers who apply for legal status. Really?
Gee.
Didn't see that one coming. 80%. Oh, yeah, they vetted them, too, I bet. Oh, yeah, they went and did all kinds of background checks on them. Oh, yeah. Oh, you're in a cartel? Come on in. Come on in. Sure. We love people like you. Here's a gun. And Mr. Coburn, last but not least, Mr. Coburn attacks the National Park Service for wasteful spending while parks themselves fall into despair. And I started reading a little bit about this. I peeked. I mean, you cannot be surprised with government waste. That you cannot. I mean, come on, look. Again, call the dealer. Tell them you're done. What I'm sick and tired of is having to read this. Well, we know where we are wasting all this money. It has been reported and reported and reported. Why? 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 Still, to this day, we have had opportunity after opportunity in all these cockamamie bills and pieces of legislation. They're always cramming in certain things. There's pork sandwiches in every friggin' bill. You can't just pass a bill. You need to have pork in it. For what? That's not your money. That's the American people's money. People should vote on where their tax dollars go. I've always thought that. Why shouldn't you be able to vote on where you want your tax dollars to go? That's your money. This is our government. We are the government. These people are hired to do our job for us. Well, if we don't demand and we don't make sure that they're doing our job the way we want it done, then we need to get rid of them. I don't see anything wrong with the people voting for where their tax go. That's not taking anything out of the hands of the Congress. And if it is, so what? We need to be more of a true republic. Yes, we are unique, and yes, it's fine the way it's set up. And it will work if we do it the way it's set up. But when we don't like something because that stops us from doing something illegally, well, then we change the rules. Can't get something passed? Oh, we need 60 votes? No problem. We'll lower down to 50. Yeah, but we only got 49. No problem. We'll lower it down to 40. We'll make damn sure we get the right amount. I mean, the evidence against this administration, I'm not saying that every administration is, has been squeaky clean up until this one. You can't say that. Every administration, I don't care how good, how bad, and I'm sure the Washington administration was probably a little bit corrupt and they did some shenanigans themselves. My point is that, yes, the American people, we can handle only so much shenanigans. But it comes to a point where we can't take as much as this administration has been handing out. I mean, we started off with Fast and Furious. That right there was plenty more than most people really wanted to swallow. That was enough for me. But that's me. Then we had Benghazi. That right there alone. Then the IRS, then the NSA, then it's this, then it's that, then it's health care, then it's stimulus packages, cylindras, all these waivers to unions, all these so-called reporters and journalists being hired to work in the Obama administration, obviously for propaganda reasons, or to keep them silent so they don't report against them, which is more than likely why the Obama administration hired them. Whether the reporter thinks they were hired for that or not, you know damn good and well that this administration, at least that crossed their mind. The more reporters they can have working on their side, well, the better off they're going to be. I don't like the amount of propaganda in this government. I don't like campaigns with slogans. I don't like an administration with an icon that, with that, I don't like those icons and those pictures. I don't need that. You want to show a picture of the Constitution? Okay, fine. This isn't about you, Mr. President, not for nothing. This is about the American people. This isn't about one particular politician. This isn't about all politicians. This isn't about the government. This is about the American people. But to them, they think it's about them. The president has no clue of what this government, why this government was formed the way it was formed, how it's structured, how it's supposed to work. He's got it in his mind of how he wants the government to work. Now, he may have had in his mind that you were going to be able to keep your doctor, but I doubt very seriously he knew. He could care less. He told them, hey, fine, screw it. I'll go out there and lie to them. I'm the savior. They'll believe me. They'll love me. Then when it finds out that, you know, after we pass it, they find out that it's not getting the same amount, there's nothing they can do about it. They're on the hook. Law of the land. Well, slavery was law of the land, too, Democrats, as you remember. That was your law, by the way. Slave owners were Democrats, just so you know. Just because it's the law of the land does not mean that you can't change it. We do have the ability to change our Constitution. We have the ability. Not the government. Well, the government actually goes through the process. But what I'm saying is the president cannot just willy-nilly change any parts of the Constitution that he wants. There's procedures that have to go through that. But again, you take the Constitution out. You got a little pocket Constitution, pull it out. Go straight to the Bill of Rights. Go straight down from 1 to 10. You tell me how many of those amendments have been violated. Heard about it in the news. You read about it in the papers. You've seen about it in your own yard, your neighbor's yard. You've experienced it. You paid for it. You felt it. You know it. They know it when they want to take more of it. Ms. Feinstein wants to take your ability to speak, my ability to speak. Whether I'm just an underwear blogger or not, I don't care. I have the right to speak. You have the right to speak. Everybody does. That's human nature. That's how people used to get their news. People used to stand up on a rock They would chant songs and sing the daily news. People told stories. Human beings are natural storytellers. Well, I am a writer myself, and I am a storyteller. But I can, that's what I'm telling you, a lot of my liberal friends, they don't understand how I can go from dreamland into Realityville. How can I do that? How can I differentiate? Well, kinds of worlds here. There's your land, there's your make-believe land where you can take your mind and go straight into Margaritaville any damn time you want to. That's the beauty of having a mind. There's nothing wrong with dreaming. Nothing we have here today did not start from a dream. Dream is nothing more than just thinking of it, an idea. Entrepreneurs, that's how they start their businesses. They have a dream. They have an idea. Can't have that idea anymore because the government doesn't mandate those ideas. See, you can only choose the ideas off of this list over here. I believe in free market. I'm sorry, but and the free market is no different than nature itself. It is the survival of the fittest, and it should be that way. And if a company goes under, it's because they mismanaged. And if they did some wrongdoings, yeah, they should pay the price. They should go to jail, and they should not get bonuses. Now, if you can get another company to buy the other company and take it over, okay, fine. If not, well, then you got to scrap it. Those bad companies, those companies that don't produce, those companies that are bad, those are bad for the market. You have nothing but bad companies in the market. Hello? What kind of market is that? Yeah, is it tough? Yeah, okay, you may have a great idea, but if it no longer fits in the time, people don't want it, people don't need it, it sucks. It's unfortunate. But you got to find something, you got to find that niche, man. You got to find that niche. You got to be a little creative. That's where you dream. But you can't stay in Dreamville. You can't dream up a whole bunch of technology, put it in a piece of legislation, get it passed by the king himself, and expect it to just be there. Well, that's what they did with Obamacare. They thought, well, I don't have to do anything now. We passed it. Oh, I'm just going to hire these companies over here, let them do it. They know what they're doing. No oversight, no asking questions. Hey, you know, how are things going? Oh, wonderful. Yeah, it's going great. Well, did you check up on how wonderful it was? Did you ask to see? How the hell can it take 3 years to do a friggin' website? And then to do one that doesn't work? And by most techies that I've read about and heard, they're all saying that there's no way that this can be repaired. It needs to be scrapped. It's got too many problems, and it was done deliberately. Now they can spend more money, got another reason to raise more taxes. Money does not solve all the problems. Just because you have a bunch of money doesn't mean that the problem's going to go away. If you use the money wisely, you can make the problem go away. Well, you can make it where you don't have the problem in the first place. But when you just pour a bunch of money down a drain, and if you expect, you know, a pot of gold to be popping out the other end, hello? How could anybody with any amount of just common friggin' sense not see that this is not only embarrassing, but just incompetence from top to bottom? And if it's not, then they're lying. And if they're lying to us, then it's some kind of devious, evil plot that they've got. What God only knows what it could possibly be. I don't have a clue. But there's no reason to screw something up, especially as big as healthcare, just to screw it up. For what? Will you be able to keep your plan, keep your doctor? Price is going to go down $2,500. Really? How come that hasn't happened yet? Well, because it's not going to. And that CMS director yesterday, good. I mean, well, just, You know, I wanted to just reach through my screen and just grab her by her throat and just slap her repeatedly until every ounce of stupid was out of her. A snotty, snooty little brat.
I'm not going to have that until November 15th. I told you, we're not going to get it to November 15th.
Yeah, but you don't know who you spoke to.
We'll get the information to November 15th.
You can't tell me who the hell you friggin' spoke to? You don't know. It's White House staff, and I'm sure you had several conversations with these people.
And you don't know.
Why are they withholding that information? Why are they withholding information on who they spoke to in the White House if they didn't speak to the White House before and get the proper answer? She doesn't want to say that she was speaking to the president. She doesn't want to say she was speaking to, well, the, you know, chief of staff. She needs to find out who the fall guy is going to be. And she figures by November 15th, she'll have at least 2 weeks there to call the White House and find out who's going to be the fall guy that she spoke to. That tells me she hasn't had an opportunity to speak to the White House and get the talking points that she's supposed to say. She doesn't know what to say. She has not been instructed by the king yet, by the king's men. Valerie Jarrett has not had a conversation with her and tell her what she can and cannot say. That's why these hearings don't really do anything. Now, I know that we have procedures done, how people are brought up into court. But I do believe that if you are going to testify in front of Congress, Congress should have the authority, whether it's a hearing, a committee hearing or not, they are still Congress. They should have the ability to hold these people in contempt, throw them in jail until they do answer the questions truthfully and honestly and completely. They won't be mistreated. Habeas corpus will not be violated. Incarcerated until you answer these questions. This is Congress. This affects all Americans. There's been a criminal case where somebody just shot one person. Not to say that that one person is just one person at all. Big deal. It's only one, like in Benghazi. I mean, there was only four that died. It wasn't like a whole bunch. I'm not minimizing that death. I'm not saying that. But when something affects the entire country, everybody, 300+ million people, yeah, you're damn right. Your feet need to be held to that fire. And if you get burned, so be it. Play this of CMS director put on yesterday was absolutely pathetic.
You'll get that to November 15th.
Couldn't tell the committee who she spoke to because she doesn't, for whatever reason. Obviously, she has not spoken to the White House and got from Valerie Jarrett what she can and cannot say. That's how much control this government has over everybody. There isn't anybody in this country anymore, anybody working in any part of government that isn't afraid to say anything. And if they do, well, you know, mysteriously your car blows up, you know, you get an accident, fall off a bridge, you know? Things happen. You know, you suddenly commit suicide. You know, weird things happen. That's a shame that we're afraid of our own government. If our government is to run properly, they need to be afraid of us. Who was that? Was that, what the hell was it? Franklin? Was it, well, the hell was that? Said that, well, it really doesn't matter. But you understand, you get the point. So this is Marilyn Tavener, Well, of course, she went out and apologized. Yeah, that's just, oh, please. Oh, yeah, well, we apologize if we, you know, offended anybody with our website that doesn't work and spent $600 million and about to send $600 million more on a site that will never work. So we apologize for that. Gee, thanks. I feel a lot better now. But I still have to pay this monthly premium that I can't afford. I still have to pay all these out-of-pocket expenses that I can't afford. But thanks for that apology. So this is a taste. This is her on Capitol Hill yesterday. And this is a taste, just a taste of what you heard yesterday. And I didn't edit this clip. This is all straight. More than likely, this is exactly what we're going to hear today with Kathleen Sebelius. Old Cat. Old Cat Sebelius is going to be in the hot seat. She's not going to say a damn thing. And if she does, she's definitely going to be losing her job, and she's definitely going to need to get some security out of town. So you know for a fact she's not going to say anything. It's going to be a dog and pony show like yesterday and like all these hearings are. I want to see these people go into the grand jury. There needs to be a grand jury on Benghazi, Fast and Furious, IRS, NSA, now this, Solyndra, the stimulus packages. I mean, I don't think there's enough courtrooms in the country to have as much grand juries as we need to have with this administration. I think it's almost, I mean, we're running, if we're not there now, we are running dangerously close to impeachment hearings now. This is enough is enough. This is too much. The country cannot afford any more of this. Too many lives have been lost. Too many lives are going to be affected. Too many dollars are going to be taken out of too many people's pockets that don't have it to give. Something is going to snap. Something is going to break. Something is going to burst. And when it does, it's going to get ugly. So we stop it, and we stop it now. Anywho, let's get back to this. I start going off, and then I can't get back. It's not my fault, these people. Good God Almighty. So anyway, this is Marilyn Tavener on the amount of enrollees in Obamacare thus far. Go ahead, go.
Committee. Certainly. According to the press report, that the memo estimated that 494,620 people would sign up for health insurance under the program by October 31st. Now, we're obviously very near that date.
Tomorrow.
Is that estimate?
We will not have those numbers available till mid-November.
Mm-hmm.
So do you not know? Do you not have any idea of how many people have enrolled?
Folks are still in the process of enrolling, both in the state-based exchanges and in the federal exchange, and we will have those numbers available in mid-November.
Are you getting those numbers?
Am I getting those numbers? Not yet.
You have no numbers on who's enrolled? So you have no idea?
We will have those numbers available in mid-November.
She knows what they are.
No one is forwarding even weekly updates on
I think you've seen some of the press. And I think that was on the graph earlier about what states have listed. We will get those numbers in mid-November.
But I understand you're not publicly releasing those numbers, but I'm asking, do you have any idea of, on a weekly basis, how many people enrolled? I mean, I mean, how do you not know how many people have enrolled?
Chairman Camp, we will have those numbers available in mid-November.
What? I mean, the arrogance of this woman. Just say it. What the hell difference does it make? We know it's not very many. Come on. We're not stupid. Why do people try to avoid the obvious? How can you avoid the obvious? Then he asked, well, what's the deadline? There's supposed to be X amount of people signed up by October 31st. And the day is fast approaching, which is tomorrow. So have you met those numbers? Well, we'll have that on November 15th. So now we got to wait till November 15th. 2 weeks and a day, 2 weeks and 2 days, to find out whether we are close to meeting our goal. You should be able to know by now whether you're going to reach your goal or not. Now, I've done several goals in in businesses. I was an F&I business manager in a car dealership. We had to do the pace every single day, every single night. We were the first to arrive and the last to leave. So if it was your watch that night, you had to do all the numbers. So when the owner got in the next day, he could tell, okay, we've sold X amount of cars already this month. We're on pace to sell this much. We've made this much money. We're on pace to make this much money. This was done every single friggin' day, 7 days a week, not five, not four, not one, not three, but seven, every night, every day. You could not go home if you did not have that paper done. You couldn't leave the dealership. Dealership. Yeah, we had over 100 salesmen in five locations, but so it was a pretty big dealership. But it's certainly nowhere near the amount of people that's working on this. So there's no excuse why this woman does not have those numbers. Now, by her saying she doesn't know, well, we're going to get them by November 15th. I don't have those numbers. Nobody gives them. Nobody knows anything. Nobody knows the numbers. There aren't any. Oregon has had zero. But everybody who's going to get free Obamacare, they've all signed up. Those are already signed up. Those are already pre-signed up, ready to go, rock and roll. So roughly 4 hours yesterday. I don't know how many hours it was. It was probably more. I watched it. I don't know when this Cat Stevens is, or Cat Stevens, Cat Sebelius, when she's supposed to go on today. But it's, you know, however long she was on the Hill, and the only thing that she said was, I'll get that information on November 15th. It's when cases like this is why I think the Congress should have the ability to hold people in contempt and you stay in jail until you answer the friggin' questions. This right here affects 1/6 of our economy. It affects every single citizen of this country. You may not be enrolled in Obamacare, but don't think for one damn second that doesn't affect you. You think your rates aren't going to go up now? Think again. Call your dealer. Sorry, dude. Can't buy the crack anymore, man. I'm off to Betty Ford. Got to do it. You got to do it. Got to put the crack pipe down. Get on the next bus back to reality town. And what's going to happen on this date? Why is that date so important, November 15th? You think if these numbers were glorious and grand, they'd be marching them out every day. Oh, we've got all these people. Of course they would. They wouldn't wait till November 15th. It's a flop. It doesn't work. They are just afraid to admit that they screwed up. And instead of admitting that they screwed up, they're going to keep forcing it upon you. They're going to double down, triple down, quadruple down. They're never going to admit it, and they're going to keep dumping more and more money into it. Oh, it's got to work. It's just got to work. Maybe a couple more trillion. Maybe then it'll work. So I don't know why that date seems to be so important. It's at the end of the month. We started it. They said monthly. Did they? Did they or did they not say they're going to give monthly reports? Okay, we're at the end of October. So we should get it November 1, right? Oh, no. We got to wait 2 more weeks. Well, they need 2 more weeks to cook the books. That's their damn problem. I guess they studied Common Core math, so it's going to take 2 weeks to cook them. Might even take more. Just put whatever number you want to in there. You're going to do it anyway. You inserted whatever number you wanted of campaigning of how many people were uninsured. Whatever you placated your audience, boy, if they, you know, they needed a little boost, boy, that was over 60 million people uninsured. Everybody's uninsured. There's only one person insured, and that's a Republican. And people just ate it up. I don't know how people, I don't know what it's like to be gullible. So it's very difficult for me to feel any kind of sympathy or empathy. I don't understand it. I'm not afraid to admit it. I'm completely oblivious of what it's like to be gullible. I don't know what that feeling is. I don't know what that's like. I'm not saying I'm Mr. Special. I'm not. But my God, I mean, when somebody's selling you something and everything they're saying is, oh, great, wonderful, but you haven't seen it yet. All you've done is heard about it. All you did with that's all the politicians who voted for it. They never read it. They just heard about it. Well, it's universal health care. Oh, great. Well, I'll sign it. I'll vote for that. Okay. Oh, wait a minute. I'm not going to vote for it. Oh, wait a minute. This is a pork sandwich? Oh, great. Okay, I'll vote for it. Yeah, well, we still don't have 60 votes. So, oh, don't worry about it. We'll just change the rules. How many do we got? We got 51? Okay, we'll bring it down to 50. Yeah, okay. Now we got a majority. Jesus Christ. 50 votes? 50 votes is not a majority. This is not an act. It's a bill. It has not been passed legitimately, nor has it been implemented legitimately or properly. It has not been implemented. Therefore, the law should be null and void. Why an attorney hasn't figured that one out, I don't know. But if you don't implement it, say you have a law on the books, well, if you don't implement it, how is it going to be? It's not really on the books then, is it? It's null and void. If you didn't follow your own law, it must be null and void. There's so many ways that this Obamacare can be scrapped if we just do it. If we can get the John McCain's and the Peter King's, we can get these people, the McConnell's, and sometimes the Graham's. You never know what the hell he's doing. I mean, you love these guys when they're conservative, and then when they jump ship, well, then you're just like, you're almost embarrassed to know them. It's like, how could you be so, what? I mean, you're going along and down a straight line, and all of a sudden you take a beeline to the left. Where'd this come from? Where are you going? What the hell are you doing? Get back here. Get back, God damn it, get back in line over here. What's the matter with you? Yeah, you want to have your own opinion, your own mind? Okay, fine, but Jiminy Christmas. You don't need to bounce out of the atmosphere, for Christ's sakes. Stop. So we need to work on that come voting day. Work on these people. They got a town hall, show up. Let them know you're tired of getting screwed. Let them know that if they're not going to do what you want them to do, you're going to vote them out. Some of these are so gerrymandered it don't really matter anyway, but still, you got to make a big enough stink. You got to let the guys know. Whether it's successful or not, sometimes is irrelevant, but you have to let them know. And the louder you let them know, the more you let them know, the more you don't let them get away with everything. Eventually, you're going to win more than you're going to lose. But if you're like the McCains and the McConnells and the Peter Kings, if you don't want to fight the fight, you need to stay out of it. You cannot win a war if you don't fight its battles. And there are several battles. There's too many battles actually to count. So when you see one, you don't just wait for somebody else to take over. You fight it. And that's what happened with the Kings and the McConnells and the McCains and all the rest. They were calling Mr. Cruz a fraud because he stood up and did the job of the elders who should have been doing the job, but they haven't been. They should have done something like this at the very beginning. They should have tried to, even though they were in the minority, they should have pulled something to try to stop that vote. What they should have done is none of the Republicans should have shown up. Not that that would have made a difference. They still would have passed it, but it would have sent a stronger message. It's simply just voting no. They shouldn't have showed up. Kept it from reaching a quorum. Now, whether they had a quorum enough, I don't know. But I'm sure they did. Exactly what that quorum is, I believe it is over half. I think it's like 3/4. So there is a certain quorum that they need to have in order to have a vote. They could have blocked it then. And any time they voted for it, they should have not showed up. We could have fought a little harder. That's all. That's my point. Is the Republican Party pretty much gave up and said, well, we can't do anything. They got the majority. They're just going to do it anyway. So, oh, well. there wasn't that fight in the Republican Party, and that's why they lost both elections. And Mr. McCain, just to let you know, your little staff, and if it wasn't for Sarah Palin, whether you like her or not is irrelevant. If it wasn't for Sarah Palin, you wouldn't have won one state. You might have won Arizona, but that would have been about it. People didn't vote for you. They were voting against Obama. And those that weren't voting against Obama were voting for Sarah Palin. They were not voting for you, Mr. McCain. Sorry. Those are the facts. So tell your little staff, little snots. Mr. Cunningham dares to say the president's full name, Barack Insane Obama. Of course, he said Hussein, but I say insane. And McCain throws a little temper tantrum trying to show, oh, well, wait a minute, I got to be politically correct. I got to get the Democrat vote. They're never going to vote for you, Mr. McCain. And by you getting rid of him, that's when you lost the election. Right there is when you fired Mr. Cunningham and wouldn't allow him to campaign for you. That's right when you lost the election, Mr. McCain. Actually, you lost it before then. But you were gaining momentum. Sarah Palin was gaining some momentum for you because you couldn't do it yourself. That's the truth. Unfortunate as it may be, but that is the truth. You can hate Sarah Palin's guts, but the truth is, if it wasn't for her, John McCain, I don't think would have won one state. He might have won Arizona, and that would have been about it. He might have won Texas because Texas is still Texas. But they're slipping too. They're slipping in. They're slipping into the Gulf. We can't lose Texas. Still a good stronghold, but they're making divots. So anyway, this Tyler Cohen, I looked him up. I don't know who the hell he is. Some cockamamie economist and author and all this and on and on and on. Everybody's an economist and an author and a this and a professor at this university. Yeah. But he did make a few, interesting predictions. And so I thought it was, interesting enough to share with you folks here today. There was actually 8 of them, but I've only got 4 of them here. So the first one, come January 1, hundreds of thousands of Americans, this is him writing this, hundreds of thousands of Americans will lose their individual coverage packages for not meeting ACA standards, that's the Affordable Care Act. Most of them won't have ready replacements. Uh-oh. This will be a big mainstream media story, not just a Fox News story. Uh-oh, he even pointed out Fox News. Wow, he's very specific in his predictions. I wonder if he's related to that Nostradamus. There will be easily identifiable victims expressing sorrow or rage or both in front of the camera. I think we've seen that already, have we not? I have. I've seen it. Left-wing bloggers will express outrage that Republicans express outrage over the existence of individuals with no insurance coverage. Well, I don't read left-wing blogs, so I don't know what the hell they're saying. I could care less what they're saying. I already know what they're saying. I don't need to hear them anymore. And Republicans will express outrage that the left-wing bloggers express outrage. So, yes, it'll be a continuous cycle. And, yes, so far, this is exactly it. It's coming true. And, yes, it is big news story. I mean, you've got CBS. You've got even NBC. How about Brian Williams actually covering a story and almost coming pretty close to almost criticizing the president? I thought that was rather interesting. Second one, the Democrats will propose various ACA fixes. I think we've already seen that, and we're going to see a lot more. Of course, they're experts. Well, what we need to do is just to spend a lot more money. Yeah, just raise taxes. That'll fix the problem. Just raise taxes on the rich. Yeah, pay their fair share. So, yeah, I kind of see that. So you're going to have various ACA fixes, and Republicans will reject them, and they probably should, claiming that the law requires more fundamental restructuring. Oh, God, fundamental restructuring? When you give that word to the government, oh, that is disastrous. Fundamental restructuring. The government shouldn't fundamentally restructure anything. That's not their job. It's our job if we want to fundamentally restructure our government. Mr. Obama, that's not your job. That's our job. We decide whether we are going to fundamentally transform our country or not. That's not up for you to decide. That's not your position. That standoff, he says, will not be readily resolved, and it will become the new debt ceiling crisis. Ooh. I think he might be right. And Democratic defections will be a problem for Mr. Obama. We're starting to see that now. And I've got a theory on that, exactly why we're starting to see these breakaways. I'm going to get into that later if I can shut up long enough to get through some of these damn stories. And the next one, the exchanges will be mostly working by March 2014, but by then the risk pool will be dysfunctional. That's why you can't fix it. Just get rid of it. The whole law itself needs to be scrapped, period. This is never going to work. It can't work. The government's in charge of it. In the meantime, real net prices will creep up. Of course they will. Whatever you sign up on Obamacare today, you know when that check or when that bill comes in the mail, you are going to be spending a lot more. You go see the doctor with that broken toe, well, going to turn gangrenous. You have to cut it off. But you can get a free abortion. So the prices are going to creep up if only through implement rationing. Of course, you know you're going to have rationing and restrictions on provider networks. So you're going to have restrictions. You're going to have complications. Oh, yeah, you got all this health care, but we don't cover this. Well, this is what I got. Well, too bad. You got to pay for it. Yeah, but I don't have any money. Well, too bad. You voted for it. Suck it up. By October 2014, no one will think the exchanges are a satisfactory solution except for 17 state exchanges, which will be running reasonably well. Some of the state-level exchanges, by the way, however, will have serious problems and is currently evident mostly on the back end, of course, when it has to connect to the federal side. There's going to be all kinds of problems. There is no way to fix this other than to just get rid of it. And now we have a top Democrat who says, those aren't cancellation notices. No. Those are transition letters into Obamacare. That's how you have to look at it. You know, you need to have a much more positive outlook on how things work. And, you know, you go into it with that positive attitude that everything is going to work out just fine. Oh, look, a unicorn. Oh, can I pet it? Are you kidding me? Insurance companies aren't sending out cancellation letters, he says. They're helping people transition into Obamacare. If the companies changed the insurance plans, then they have to notify the people who have to have the opportunity to have another policy. Said House Ways and Means Committee Ranking Member Sander Levin. You remember him, the Democrat from Michigan? Yeah. Sander. In fact, according to Mr. Levin, or Levin, the so-called cancellation notices merely help people transition into a new policy. No, you help them transition into the poorhouse. Bankruptcy court. That's where you help them transition to, Mr. Levin. We're not cutting people. We're actually transitioning people. Girardi or Girardi, Girardi, whoever the hell he is, it's some CEO, Patrick Girardi, whatever his name is, CEO from Florida Blue. He was on Meet the Press on Sunday, and he says, well, we're not cutting people. We're actually transitioning people. So that must be the talking point. So he comes out there, and he says that. Then a couple of days later, you got Mr. Levin out there, who obviously been watching television. And he comes out there and repeats it. This is how these people are. Once one person says one buzzword, one buzz phrase, then everybody has to jump on the bandwagon. Oh, look at me. I said the latest buzz phrase. I'm cool. Everybody, look over here. I just said the latest buzzword. Everybody, yeah, see how cool I am? No, you're not cool. You're just an idiot. You're regurgitating and repuking the same puke. And it is puke. It's not real. It's not, those aren't, it's not real. It's puke. It's vomit. It's sputum. Smegma. People were actually transitioning people. You're cutting them. What we've been doing, he goes on to say, is informing folks that their plan doesn't meet the test of the essential health benefits. Abortion. Therefore, they have a choice of many options, that may make available through the exchange. Yeah, all of the options they cannot afford. I'm sick and tired of, all these people got all these options. Oh, yeah, well, it's great. You have all the options in the world, but you can't afford them. So it's really not an option, then, is it? How can it be an option if you can't afford it? It's not an option. But they're there. But at least you get that free abortion. Do I get a lollipop afterwards, too? Jesus Christ. So this knucklehead, this Florida Blue CEO, Patrick Girardi, whatever. Seems like there should be another consonant somewhere in there. I can't pronounce his name. I'm not trying to be disrespectful. I just can't pronounce a damn thing. So his argument may exonerate Florida Blue, but the fig leaf doesn't cover Obamacare nearly as well as Levin suggested, given that the test of the essential health benefits comes from Obamacare and invalidated the previously acceptable insurance policies. In other words, this is another, these numbers, everything, nothing makes sense with these people. You've got one person saying this, another person saying that, and this person over here, he repeats what this person over here says, not knowing what the hell the context in which he was using it, and he goes over there, regurgitates it, and everybody else is talking about all these things. You got the administration coming out with these numbers. Well, we already went up to 50 million people now are uninsured, but we got 90 million people out of work, and so you know that there's most of those don't have insurance. But the website can only handle 50,000 people a day, and they're only looking for 7 million people to sign up for this goddamn thing. Well, if we have 50 million people that you claimed you campaigned on, but you're only asking for 7 million, but the website can't even handle 20,000. I mean, none of the numbers make sense. I mean, am I the only one who doesn't see this? And so what about all those people, the 90 million people that don't have a job anymore? Are you telling me they all still got insurance? Come on. So how many people realistically right now do not have insurance? I bet it's well over 100 million. It's got to be. It's got to be. We didn't help anybody get insurance. All we did was make more people uninsured. That's all we did. That's all this is about. More. The only people that are going to get insurance are the people, that were already on welfare. Now you're going to have a lot more people who don't qualify for welfare but are going to get fined, and they don't have any money to even pay the fine. So now they're going to have to go to jail because they don't have enough money to pay for health care, that they can't even get health care because they got a pre-existing condition, but they can't afford it. They can't afford the out-of-pocket expenses. But they can certainly get that free abortion, though. Yeah, you know, no waiting in line. Yeah, you might have to wait 20, 30 minutes, you know, but, I mean, just come on in. You know, sit down, get yourself comfortable. There's a cup of coffee. We'll scrape her out in no time, and you'll be on your way. Yeah, we got this down to a science. Sure, you won't even feel a thing. Don't worry about it. It's a wonderful experience, which we're going to get to those stories if I could shut up. So now we got doctors that are hanging up their white coats saying, screw this, I'm out of here, man. Disgusted letter, disgusted Obamacare letter from a former health care worker sent it to President Obama, a former health care worker, a political activist. I wonder if he worked for Acorn. Has penned an open letter to President Barack Hussein Obama, King, saying he has abandoned his dream of going into medicine, and it's all because of the Affordable Care Act. I remember the day, he writes, Obamacare became law. I was sitting in the hospital working in the anesthesia department part-time to cover the cost of tuition. Dr. Alfery, a mentor of mine, looked over at me and said, run. It's not too late to change your majors. Michael Gordon, lofty, wrote in the letter, which was first posted online last week and has been viewed by more than 86,000 people. Woo! Your legislation, he continues, has caused countless doctors to go into retirement early, opt for cash-only practices. See, we talked about that. And has discouraged bright young minds from entering the field. That is the point. It's the whole point. They're trying to depopulate. See, this is a whole thing. This has been going on since, well, for a long time. But it was really big in the 70s. And, oh, the people were worried that there was too much population. And then Mr. Jackson, what the hell is, what was his name? I can't remember his first name. But he's worried about too many people on the island of Guam will make it capsize and tip over. There is that, Ted Turner's even talked about it. There is that sentiment out there that people feel there's just too many people. Well, somebody's, well, how do we do that? Well, we have abortions. And we get health care that isn't health care, so a lot of people will die. We can't just go out and kill them like, you know, Hitler did, so we got to find other ways. So if we don't give them any health care, well, then they'll just eventually die off. They get cancer, they get diabetes, well, they'll go into shock, whatever. We don't have to worry about them anymore. And plus, we got death tax, so their family will have to pay a tax. So we'll make money off them. So the more people die, the more money we make. I mean, it seems, you know, sick and twisted, but yes, there are people out there that this is their plan. This is their agenda. They want to lower the population of mankind. They don't believe that there's too many people on Earth. Of course, there's too many men. Of course, all the women. Man. But there's too many people on Earth, so we have to get rid of them. We have to find a way to get rid of them. Well, you can't just line them up in the street and start shooting them, hanging them, poisoning. Can't do that. No. But there's other ways. Why don't you just let nature take over? Let nature handle it. You're not nature. I'm sorry, Democrats, but you cannot control the climate. You cannot control nature, period. Leave it alone. It works just fine by itself. It does not need you interfering and screwing it up like everything else that you people touch. I don't think there's one thing that a Democrat has accomplished in our government, one liberal accomplishment that has been successful. I can't think of one. Not one. Not one. So now he's writing this letter and he's all pissed off. I've decided that I believe in the principles of a truly free market. And I trust the free market. Well, we don't have a free market anymore. It's Obama's market. If he wants you to buy something, then he will tell you what you're going to buy. And if you want to sell something, he will tell you what you are going to sell and how much you are going to sell it for. And no matter what you sell, you go in and you buy a bag of apples at your grocer. Well, you're going to get a free abortion ticket. Here's your free abortion coupon. Go across the street over there to Geraldo. He'll take care of you.
Come on in here, baby. I'll scrape that thing out of you, no problem. Put a little 30 weight in there and
These people only knew what the hell that they were really praising. These people only really have these people seen, these women that would, if they actually seen an abortion, most of these women would not be jumping up and down, I want abortions, I want abortions, I want abortions. That's a phony argument. And it's to keep you from talking about things like Benghazi and Fast and Furious, the things that matter, things that affect the human lives, this Obamacare. All American citizens are affected by this, whether you're in this damn program or not. You're still going to get affected. I'm leaving the medical field. I'm hanging up the white coat, he says. However, let me be clear. You have not won. Ooh, he got tested with the king? Ooh, what else does he say? Unless something changes, you've lost and you will continue to lose. Whoa! Oh, my goodness gracious. I did not see this in here. This is good. I liked it. Ooh, yeah. This guy is not a happy camper, and good for him. You will fail because you lack principle. Meanwhile, we will succeed because we are born of principle. Absolutely. I love this guy. Good for you. Nice letter. You think he's going to respond to the president? No. 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 He don't care. He goes on to say that Republicans and Democrats alike are not men of principle. Well, in a lot of cases, you're right. What else does he say? Oh, we've really come a long way from the, what else does he say? Oh, wait a minute. Asked to explain the final passage, Lofty told the Blaze, America, since its inception, is a nation of laws. Well, it's true. We got a constitution, and there's laws in there. We just don't follow them. We've really come away from that. So my statement to Obama with the idea that the principle that we're a nation of laws is that he is not a man of principle. And it is true. He is, well, he does have principles, but they're not our kinds of principles. Those are, well, controlling, egotistical, narcissistic kinds of principles. He's not a uniter. He's a liar, a divider, a dictator, a tyrant. Those are real words with real meanings. That's not hyperbole. He's not a terrorist. He's not a jihadist. He's not a suicide bomber. But he is a tyrant. And a tyrant does not mean that you are a cruel and vicious dictator. It simply means that you have taken complete and total control, total power. That's what that means. That is what tyranny means. That's for you liberals who don't understand what the word means. You think it's just a dictator walking by, coming out the street and just start hacking people's heads off because they looked at him wrong. When you don't base your decisions and actions, he goes on to say, on principles, it opens the door for other people with different principles or ideologies to come in and change the nation. And that's exactly what we had with Obama and Senator John McCain and Lindsey Graham. They are not men of principles. Oh, my God. This guy just, oh, good for him. Good for him. It's about time. This is what we need. We need people that are not afraid of this president. When you stand up to a bully, they back down, and he is a bully. Putin stood up to Obama. Obama was trying to live off the curtails of Ronald Reagan. Well, let me tell you something, Mr. Obama. You don't even think about that again. You embarrass yourself to the point where you embarrass the entire country. And Mr. Putin shot you down. Bitch slapped you into submission. You're not powerful. They'll follow you for whatever blind reason. I can't figure that one out. But you're not going to be successful like this man wrote in the letter. You will fail. And you will fail miserably. And we will succeed. Because, yes, we do have principle. And you, sir, do not. So, moving right along. Rand Paul says he will block Yellen's nomination as Fed chair unless the Senate votes on an audit of the Fed. Senator Rand Paul of Kentucky told Senate Minority, or told Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid Tuesday that he will move to block Dr. Janet Yellen's nomination as the next Federal Reserve Chair unless the Senate votes on his legislation, which allows the Fed to be audited. I am writing to convey my objection to floor consideration of the nomination of Dr. Janet Yellen to chair the Board of Governors of the Federal Reserve without also considering legislation to bring much-needed transparency to the Fed. Good for you. That'll never happen. This government will never allow this government to be audited, but they will audit you. They can't be audited, but you can. But they can audit you. They can audit you. Boy, can they audit you, but you can't audit them. Mm-hmm. Is that integrity? Is that transparency? Is it? Okay. American people have a right to know what this institution is doing, Mr. Powell goes on to say, with the nation's money supply, when he's right. The Federal Reserve does not need prolonged secrecy. It needs to be audited, and my bipartisan Federal Reserve Transparency Act will do just that. I hope he gets it through. I just don't have any faith that he will. Not that I don't have any faith in him, I just don't have any faith in this government that's going to allow the government to be audited. They should be. The IRS needs to be audited, if anybody needs to be audited. All of government needs to be audited. And the only way we can do that is we got a clean house. So that's our audit. We need to have an audit. And we need to weed out those that are not doing the job. That's our audit, and we need to audit responsibly when we go to the voting booth. We're really screwed now, NSA's best friend just shivved the spies. Remember I told you I got a theory on this? Well, one of the National Security Agency's biggest defenders in Congress is suddenly at odds with the agency and calling for a top-to-bottom review of the U.S. spy program. We're really screwed now, one of the NSA officials told the cable. You know things are bad when the few friends you've got disappear without a trace in the dead of night and leave no forwarding address. Ooh, just in time for Halloween. In a pointed statement issued yesterday, Senate Intelligence Committee Chairman Dianne Feinstein, who wants to take away your First Amendment rights to speak, unless you've been sanctioned and paid a hefty fine to her, and she has signed off personally that that's okay for you to say, said that she was totally opposed to gathering intelligence on foreign leaders and said it was a big problem if Mr. Obama didn't know the NSA was monitoring the phone calls of German Chancellor Angela Merkel. Well, yeah, she does kind of have a point, but how could you not know? Ms. Feinstein, any idea? How come you don't know? President doesn't know, but you're the committee chairman. How come you don't know? There's incompetence all over the place, and everybody's blaming everybody else because nobody wants to have the blame themselves because they're the ones who screwed up. Well, they've all screwed up. It hasn't just been her. She can't take all the blame. All of government needs to take the blame, and we need to take the blame, too, because we allowed this government to continue this way. There's blame to go all around. So when we go to the voting booth, 2014, well, we're going to do it properly. Now they want to have a big, giant to-do, a review, which is going to piss off all the agencies. They're going to be on this and that, and then they're going to be giving out more secrets. See, this is how a liberal solves a problem. They just exacerbate it. Just make the problem bigger. So that way we can have an excuse to raise more taxes and fix the problem. We'll just keep dumping money into it. The problem never goes away. Well, the fact is, yeah, do we need to spy? All countries probably in this day and age. I do think they, you know, in order to survive, they need to do some kind of spies of some sort. And we all understand that most do, which is fine. But you can't get caught doing it. And if you do get caught doing it, it's because you have not taken the proper steps. You don't know your job, first of all. obviously the competence level has dropped dramatically. If somebody can walk in with just a GED into the NSA, the biggest spy organization on planet Earth, no high school diploma, can walk in and within just a couple of months extract all this top secret data that he should have never even been able to see in the first friggin' place, to take it out and fly to China and then to Russia. That's not, well, whether Mr. Snowden is right or wrong in doing so, the NSA must take a much bigger chunk of the responsibility because they allowed it to happen. And our government allowed 400 surface-to-air missiles to be stolen out of Benghazi. Thousands of guns handed to the cartels. Those guns are all over Mexico, all over the southwest part of the United States, maybe even in the northern United States. But those were such a long time ago. I mean, come on, let it go already. Fast and Furious is over. There was only one guy who died. Come on, you know. I mean, at least Benghazi had four, and you're worried about one? Oh, come on. Stop wasting everybody's time with this. It's over. Let it go. We learned from our mistakes. We won't do it again. Let it go. A former intelligence agency liaison to Congress said Feinstein's sudden outrage over spying on foreign leaders raised questions about how well-informed she was about the NSA programs. I think I just mentioned that. And whether she'd been fully briefed by her staff. First question I'd ask is, he says, what have you been doing for oversight? Second, if you've been reviewing this all along, what has changed your mind? Exactly. How about that, Ms. Feinstein? How can all these people, nobody seems to know when someone, you know, when the poop hits the fan, everybody, well, I didn't know this. We're going to get to the bottom of this. We're going to have a review. We're going to have committee hearings. We're going to get to the bottom of this. American people deserve to know. Yeah. They come out with that whole nonsense. Well, no, you should know. You should know what the hell your job is, and you should do it. The former official added that the bottom line question is, where was the Senate Intelligence Committee when it came to their oversight on these programs, and what were they being told by the NSA? Because if they don't know about the surveillance, that would imply they were being lied to. So, I mean, we've got that now. Either she has no friggin' idea what the hell she's being told. She doesn't understand it. I think there's a little bit of that. I think there's a lot that she doesn't is over her head. And that's what it is. And then she gets her staff members to go into these meetings. They have, it's over their head. They don't know what the hell to report back to her. So it might be possible she had no idea none of this was going on. Well, it doesn't excuse her because that's her responsibility, especially as a chairman in a committee such as hers. It's her responsibility, not her staff's. She needs to be informed, and if she doesn't know, she needs to find out why she doesn't know. I mean, they're blaming everybody. Nobody's going to take responsibility for any of this. Somebody has to be held responsible. But that's what they want to do. Well, somebody's got to be held responsible. Yeah, you. So they'll point a finger at somebody. They'll find somebody to be the fall guy. Somebody take the hit when it's them. It's just sheer incompetence on her part. Now, here's part of my theory. I think this could be a layering of building blocks to promote Hillary, the hitman, Clinton. People starting to jump ship now from Obama. Whether it be NSA, IRS, every once in a while you might get a Benghazi or Fast and Furious. They stay away from those. But Obamacare, starting to get people. IRS, he got a few. NSA, he's starting to get more. So you're starting to see You're starting to see the herd thin out and divide, and you're trying to see who's still in the Obama camp and who is now really still in the Hillary the Hitman Clinton camp. I think all along Ms. Feinstein is in the Hillary Hitman Clinton camp. And I think she's trying to distance herself by playing stupid. I didn't know anything. Oh, yeah, but you're the committee chairman, you know. You should, you get briefed on this stuff all, you know. How do you not know it? Well, see, she screwed up. But liberals don't make mistakes. So they can screw up as much as they want to. All they got to do is blame somebody else. That's what we need to get rid of. We need to get people in there that aren't afraid to admit, hey, I screwed up. You know what? It doesn't hurt. Every time I admit that I screwed up, you know what? It doesn't hurt. It feels actually pretty good. And I learned something from it. When I screw up, I learn. I'm not afraid to admit I screwed something up. Big deal. So what? If you're a human being, you screw several things up a day. You can't help it. You're human. You're a hypocrite. You're a liar. You screw things up. That's just the way human beings are. But you have to pick and choose when you're hypocritical, when you're lying, and when you're avoiding responsibility. The more you do, the more you're going to have to pay for it later. So the less you do, well, the better off you're going to be. That's the whole point. So now, to prove my point from this dividing of the liberal herd of who is still with Obama and who is with Clinton, here is Ronan Farrow talking about the Clintons. He was on, what the hell was it? I think it was Morning Joe. I think it was yesterday morning. So this is Ronan Farrow. I have no idea who the hell this guy is, but here he's a young guy, and here he's talking about Clintons. Go ahead, go.
And most rarely, the president came out and said he was wrong, essentially, to sign DOMA, wanted it overturned, which the Supreme Court ultimately did. What do you think that evolution tells us about their ability to move from the 90s to now?
They're nimble politicians. Also, I think that they represent a style of honesty that the public craves right now. And that's reflected in the numbers. I think people are tired of the old school politicking. And when a politician comes out and says, actually, I changed my mind, I've evolved on this issue, that's something people are willing to embrace. You know, Clinton has shown that, as you said, on a variety of social issues that matter to young voters and for whom, you know, other politicians that have remained stuck in the past have become a source of alienation. He's also done it on a variety of other issues, including health care. I mean, let's not forget that it was a watershed moment when Bill Clinton came out and gave his seminal remarks on health care at the convention. Those are remarks that he struck through the written remarks on.
All right, all right, all right.
That shows the style of communication he has. One of the reasons why these stopped.
And most rarely, the president came out.
Oh, my God. Come on. What's wrong? Wake up back there. When I say push a button, shut him off, then push a damn button and shut him off. Kids. You know, I love them. It's all right back there. I still almost like you. I might even feed you today, too. So it's all right. You can make a mistake once in a while. Just don't do it again. But anyway, finally, we shut this kid up. I mean, come on, dude. Give it up, kid. Will you please? Give it up. You're not going to get anywhere by brown-nosing the Clintons, just to let you know. But you can go ahead and you can try, and you go ahead and they're going to use you and abuse you and throw you away as soon as they're done with you. So you go ahead there, you little snot-nosed little brat, you know-it-all little creep. You go ahead there and you suck up to them Clintons, boy. You go right on ahead. But you can see they're already starting to get that narrative out there. And, you know, there's a lot of Democrats out there now starting to speak a little bit more. So they're starting to distance themselves from the Obama camp, and they can't go anywhere else. Well, where are they going to go? Whoa, look, Hillary Clinton, she's now running for president. We can go over to her now. But before, where could they go? They certainly couldn't go over to the right. But now they got somebody they can lean on. They can go into the Clinton camp and feel warm and fuzzy because she'll take care of them. And that's exactly what's happening here right now. That's exactly what's happening here. That's why you have Dianne Feinstein over there, forgetting that she's the goddamn chairman of this committee and should know. I mean, this is the competence that we have to deal with in this government, and it's ridiculous for her to come out there and say that she didn't know any of this stuff. That's ridiculous. And why did it take her so long to come out? I mean, I've been talking about this stuff for how many weeks now? How long has all this stuff in the NSA been coming out? Okay, you know it came out to the government far before it came out in the press. And it's been out in the press for a long time. And now she's all of a sudden waking up? Wait a minute. Whoa, wait a minute. Yeah, that story's like a couple weeks old, and now she's waking up and finding out, what, the president, they monitored Merkel's phone? What? Oh, wait a minute. That's unacceptable. That's done deliberate. That's saying, Mr. Obama, I'm through with you. I'm jumping over to the Hillary hitman Clinton camp. Screw you. You're out. He's losing friends left and right. He's losing people. He's losing trust. He's losing focus. You can't get this Obamacare to go on. People's insurances are not going to have it going up. They're only going to continue to go up and up and up and up and up. So the White House has okayed the spying on all these allies, but yet the president doesn't know about it, and nor does she. But yet the White House okayed spying on allies. But nobody knows about it. Well, then how does it get done? How can the White House be involved in all of these things, but nobody in the White House knows about it? Huh. I guess you have to understand common core math in order to understand that, right? In other words, it's just BS. Nobody wants to admit that they screwed up. Well, they all screwed up. Everybody screwed up on something. And we still trust these people? We still put our faith in these people? And now we're going to allow them to dump another $600 million into another website that will never work? 3 years to build a website, test it, and get it ready to go. 3 years. You can build a warship in under 3 years. Cated weaponry. Build a skyscraper in under 10 years, under 3 years. But you can't build a website? What? There's something more to this than just single payer. There's something a lot more to this. It almost seems, again, I don't know why I keep having these thoughts, but it almost seems like they want this to completely collapse. And why they want to spend more money, why they want to drain the entire kitty dry and force our country into insolvency, I don't understand the point of that. Who is going to gain, and what are you going to gain? Well, as Americans, we can't stand to let this happen. We can't allow this to continue. We cannot allow this to happen. This is unacceptable. And he is right. We are going to fight you, and you people on the left, you are going to lose. Mr. President, you are going to lose. You are going to fail, and you are going to fail miserably. So let's find out here what really happened here. Washington State Department signed up on a surveillance targeting. So the White House and the State Department both signed off on surveillance targeting phone conversations of friendly foreign leaders, current and former U.S. intelligence officials said Monday. So these intelligence officials are tired of having all the blame put on them, and now they're going to start spilling the beans. And now what this is going to bring is more and more whistleblowers. And when these whistleblowers start talking to reporters, they may not know that they're giving out classified information, and we could really be screwing a lot of things up. But a lot of things needs to come out. A lot of this stuff needs to come out. He wants to be the most transparent administration. Okay, if he's not going to demonstrate it, we're going to find it. He needs to prove it. And if he's not, well, then we're going to prove it. He shouldn't have said it. He shouldn't have drawn any red lines in the sand. He shouldn't have tried to act like a cowboy. Act like he's Ronald Reagan, because you're not. Reagan had principles. You, sir, do not. You certainly don't have any American principles. Well, there's a lot of Americans. We are in the majority. We do have American principles. We are a unique country. We're different. And there's nothing wrong with having pride of your country. If you're a Russian, why wouldn't you have Russian pride? I would expect you to. If you're Chinese, why wouldn't you be proud of you of being Chinese? Well, we're American. We have the right to be proud of being American, and I am. So professional staff members at the National Security Agency and other U.S. intelligence agencies are angry, wow, these officials say, believing the president has cast them adrift as he tries to distance himself from the disclosures by former NSA contractor Edward Snowden. Oh. Nobody wants to take the blame, but yet evidence shows who's at fault. So we don't need to have you come out and admit that you screwed up. We already know you did. And now you got Mr. McCain again. Ranking minority member of the Armed Services Committee said Congress should consider creating a special select committee to examine U.S. eavesdropping on foreign leaders. That's all we need. Again, that mentality. Well, we need more government. We've already got this huge government bureau spying on 70 million, 60 million phone calls a month on all these countries, spending all this time, money, and all these resources. So to solve the problem, we make the government even bigger. Mr. McCain, do you know what the word conservative means? Conservative does not mean make the government bigger. The conservative means make the government smaller. So if these people are really doing a disservice to the country, get rid of them. Get rid of parts of the NSA. If you don't like what they're doing, get rid of them. You have the power in Congress to get rid of them. Oh, but wait a minute. Oh, that's the king's position. He's the one who creates the government. It's his choice to make whether the government gets bigger or not. I don't understand how the president and all these congressional committees and all these politicians and all these people that are so brilliant, of course, you know, they'll tell you. If you're a woman Democrat, oh, you're so brilliant and courageous. If you're a Republican woman, wow, you're fat, you're ugly, you're stupid. You're an idiot. You're a thief. Suicide bomber, jihadist, terrorist, hater, racist. I don't understand how all these people can be so unaware of all these things. I mean, are they that deliberately obtuse or just friggin' incompetent? I don't know. Personally, I think it's a combination of both, but... Anyway, let's get into this. I was going to get into this yesterday. 100 pro-abortion storytelling events organized across the country. Well, isn't that? This is from the Breitbart News. On Monday, pro-abortion groups across the country launched an organized effort to feature women telling uplifting stories of their abortions. We already covered what an uplifting abortion story would sound like. But what the hell? An uplifting story over an abortion? How could that be uplifting? The so-called 1 in 3 week of action will feature 100 events in 32 states and began in Washington, D.C., according to the Advocates for Youth. And they claim the 1 in 3, well, that means 1 in 3 women in the United States will at some point have an abortion. 1 in 3. That's a pretty big number, don't you think? And they're proud of that number. They want that 3 in 3. They want that 3 for 3. They want a perfect record. They want you to have at least 2 abortions before you have your first child. That way you can feel what it's like to be a real woman to kill your baby. And then you can tell an uplifting story about it. Oh, you'll thank me later. How do you get an uplifting abortion story? What the hell is the matter with these women? Something's wrong. These people need to call their dealer. No more crack for these people. I'm sorry, but I find that just absolutely just pathetic. That's disgusting. How do you have an uplifting story on abortion? The 1 in 3 organizers will also be handing out a book. Oh, Jesus Christ. 1 in 3. These are our stories. So, oh, God almighty, they're even going to print this crap? Are you telling me? I mean, are you kidding me? Organizers suggest that their goal is to keep abortion safe, legal, and affordable. Well, now it's affordable. It's free because every health care plan that's out there covers free abortion. A marked change from the old pro-choice slogan from the Clinton years, safe, legal, and rare. Now they want it safe, legal, and affordable. They don't want it rare. It should be very rare. I don't understand why all these people just can't wait to go out there and kill their baby. Jesus God almighty. The organizers also want to end the stigma surrounding abortion. Oh, so we're going to paint a real pretty picture and we'll put some unicorns there and we'll sit down and we'll tell some stories and drink some tea. Oh, it'll be so much fun. Helping to end that stigma includes recruiting celebrities. Oh, Jesus, God almighty, that's all we need, more friggin' celebrities. To be a part of the 1 in 3 campaign, MTV star Katie Stack, of 16 and pregnant, will be joining the campaign. Oh, God. Was she going to get a free abortion on TV now? Maybe that's what they ought to do. They ought to show these girls, all these women who love all this abortion, they ought to see one. Maybe they'll change their friggin' mind. They're idiots. Let's see. The University of Michigan at Ann Arbor will host an event called an Abortion Speak Out, at which Stack will appear. It's very hard to talk about abortion without the negativity. Really? About how they pull your baby out piece by piece, chunk by chunk, and throw it into a trash can and left there to die on its own if it's breathing? Or they jam a pair of scissors in the back of its neck? Is that what you mean by negativity? Huh? The Speak Out event is almost an experiment to see if it's possible. Oh. Hopefully it is. Oh, of course it's possible. This isn't impossible. I know Carly has taken a lot of steps to make it safe space, but it's really hard to authentically create a safe space to share these kinds of stories. You think? I mean, what the hell is the matter with these women? You want a safe space to talk about how the doctor pulled your little baby out chunk by chunk and threw it into a garbage can? These are uplifting stories? What is the matter with these people? What is wrong with you? Oh. All right, one more story. Coburn attacks the National Park Service for wasting spending money. So the taxpayers shell out $52,000. This is just one out of God knows how many. $52,000 a year to maintain the home of a Black History Month founder, Carter Woodson. So here, where's Reggie Jackson? Reggie Jackson. Jesus, where did that come from? Jesse Jackson. And Al Sharpton and Tavis Smiley, where are they all at? Black History Month? Yet this tiny dilapidated row house in Northeast Washington, D.C., or Northwest Washington, D.C., has a no trespassing sign and iron bars that are blocking the entrance and all the windows. Haven't seen a visitor in 7 years since the Park Service bought it for $2.1 million and designated it an historic, national historic site. So they buy this property, this old house, for $2.1 million. Hasn't seen one visitor in over 7 years. Considered a national historic site. How do you buy a small land of property for $2.1 million? It's not that big of a house. First of all, that's a ridiculous price. And then you didn't do anything with it. You left it dilapidated. Got it all barred up so you can't get in. You can't even see it. It's got a big no trespassing sign. Well, how is that a National Historic Site with a big no trespassing sign? No visitors? So where is that $52,000 a year going to? It takes $52,000 a year to replace bars and a no trespassing sign? Maybe to mow the lawn? Huh? So Mr. Coburn, a Republican out of Oklahoma, points to the House as one tiny in a sea of dysfunction in the National Park Service. And now we just got the queue. We're getting ready to get bumped off here. So because I ran long again and was running off at the mouth, we'll have to finish this story tomorrow. But anyway, I appreciate it. Thank you very much for listening to this program. Again, every weekday from 10 in the morning to 12 noon, you want to be a part of the program, please give us a call at 646-716-7978. Express your thoughts and feelings to the captain, and I'll help. So other than that, I will see you back here tomorrow morning at 10. Goodbye.
Now more than ever before, the people are responsible for the character of their Congress. If that body be ignorant, reckless, and corrupt, it is because the people tolerate ignorance, recklessness, and corruption.
Corruption. Corruption. Corruption.
Until now.
Now.